done better.
Yeah, you're not. It's not your 20s.
Yeah, I think my Isaac and Abraham this morning are heading to church about even Isaiah talks about him coming, or well, he's dying and then raising up again.
Yes.
And yeah. John says
all
that.
All the prophets, yeah. All of them.
I hate that root.
Huh?
I hate that root. I like potatoes. My favorite root.
Yeah.
I take regular potatoes or sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes ain't that bad because you don't have to add nothing to it. Either.
Right.
A lot of people like cinnamon.
I'll usually butter.
A lot of people add cinnamon and butter, but
sure, yeah. She'll add
sugar and
butter.
All I do is take the good stuff out of it.
Yep. You're not eating the skin.
So
you could.
Somebody eating the skin over there. I was like, you can have that.
Yeah. I'll give you mine.
Yeah. I'll eat the skin on a kiwi, but not on the potatoes. It's been in the ground.
Now I will eat it off of a regular potato, but I won't eat it off of a sweet potato because it's just so chewy.
Yeah, it's chewy.
Yeah. Take the goody out of the middle. All right, brother.
Hey, man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 212. Page number 212. Oh, happy day. And let's stand, please. 212. It's good for you. Oh, you good, Rob. 212.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthem fill His house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Number 3. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on just to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Number 4. Now rest my long divided heart, fixed on this blissful center rest. Nor ever from my Lord depart, with Him of every good possess. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for your spirit that came down this morning, Lord, and met with us, Lord. I do pray that tonight as we hear your word preached again, Lord, that you continue to do that work inside of our hearts, Lord, and change and challenge us, Lord. Pray you forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to page number 327, Higher Ground.
Amen.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. There's some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Number 3, I want to live above the world. The Satan's darts on me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Number 4, I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray to heaven I found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Page number 75, everybody. We need revival. 75. There was a time when the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way. There was a time when the people of God lived in a godly way. Something's wrong, it's time to turn around. Something's wrong, it's time to heed the sound. We need revival all across the land. We need revival. It's time to take the stand. Better fall on our knees and pray and turn from our wicked ways. We need revival all across the land. Now is the time, and this is the place. We're the ones who must make a choice. Now is the time. We dare not hesitate. The people of God must boy. We must be strong. It's the power of God's name. Must be strong. This darkness needs our lamp. We need revival. All across the land, we need revival. It's time to take a stand. Better fall on our knees and pray. And turn from our wicked ways. We need revival all across the land. We need revival all across the land.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 7. I gave my life for thee.
Seven.
Yeah. 07. Okay. Let's stand, please. Page number 7. I gave my life for thee.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? Thy Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, what hast thou left for me? I left it all for thee, as thou left all for me. Number 3. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, a bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? Number 4. And I have brought to thee, thou from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me?
Brother Stephen, if I could get you to hit number 10. Amen. Amen. Well, hope you've had a good afternoon. Preaches it. And I can't make them. I don't twist anyone's arms. And by the way, God doesn't either. Amen. But I do reckon, if we'd just be honest, we've got a whole lot that we're going to be accountable for. Amen. And we've got this idea that God will accept some excuses. I don't think that any of us are going to have any excuses accepted. Amen. It kind of goes back to that song we just sang. I gave my life for thee. Amen. And, even in reading, of course, I'm reading right now about Hudson Taylor, and I've read several life accounts of other missionaries of times past, and I look at the heartaches and the hard times that they've had, and they go over there with nothing. They really don't go over with anything but faith that God's going to take care of them. And today we've got missionaries that don't go unless they have a certain dollar amount behind them. And I know you say, well, preacher, it takes dollars. It does.
But it also is the fact that, they were willing to sacrifice. And even believers then, there was a time of willing to sacrifice. And I'm afraid that we're going to be so accountable for the lack of comfort, or the comfort that we have and the lack of faith that we have. Amen. And I'm just afraid that a holiday and family gathering isn't an excuse. Don't get mad at the preacher. Give me a scripture and verse. Amen. I think that we've really got to that idea that, well, God will accept it. It's a holy holiday. I would think if it's a holy holiday, He'd be involved in it. Amen. Just thought. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I want us to pick up in verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10. We're going to look at several verses here tonight. And I'm not going to preach the whole chapter, but I'm telling you, I like from the very beginning in verse number 1, where he declares the gospel all the way to the end. And I'm thankful that in it, by the end of 1 Corinthians 15, we find that it's not just the fact that he declared the gospel, but through the gospel we have victory. Amen. And I know I've preached a lot about victory. Maybe it's the fact that God's just encouraged me through it. Amen. Hey, we know the end. There's many of people today that are out there that are going to tell you that we're getting close to the end and the end times. And boy, you know, we're getting ready to go home, and we are. But I'm going to go home not as defeated, but as victorious. Amen. And I rejoice in that. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 10. If you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10. I've got several verses I want us to look at tonight, and we'll get started here. 1 Corinthians 15, 10, it says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, in verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God. I'm thankful I'm Jehovah's true witness. Amen. Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. And ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for the victory that we have in the resurrection. Lord, the power that we had looked at this morning, Lord, just the fact that You laid down Your life, You had power to lay it down, and You had power to take it up again. And Lord, as we come tonight, I do rejoice in the fact that You're the first fruits of those that have slept in You. And Lord, we know that their physical body, there's coming a physical resurrection, Lord. Their spiritual body is with You, or their spiritual being is with You. They're not just soul sleeping, but yet I know that they're going to come back. Their bodies are going to be resurrected. That corruptible is going to put on incorruption. That mortal is going to put on immortality. And Lord, I just rejoice in that. And then, Lord, I come to You tonight as we look at these Scriptures, and we see the Apostle Paul, and we understand that even in us today, it's all Your grace that's been done. And then we have the victory and the fact that You didn't stay in that tomb. Lord, help us tonight to just rejoice in You. Lord, that we would do an evaluation of ourselves, that we would truly see our life,
And Lord, ask ourselves if we're living for Your glory. Lord, help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I would like us to look tonight. Now, we were discussing this morning about the great gospel that was declared, but the best part of the gospel is the fact that it's going to change us forever. Amen. It's not just the fact that we get to enjoy eternity, and it's not just so great of salvation because the eternity that's before us, but it's because of the life that we have in Christ right now. I'm telling you, someone who's just waiting to enjoy salvation once they get to eternity, I'm not sure that they've got it. Amen. Because God's doing a work now as we look at moving to eternity. Amen. And so we just look at the hope and the greatness of this salvation and the assurance that we have in and through Christ. You see, because He produces a new man. We know that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And with that new man, we have a new look. We have a new outlook. And really, it's not an outlook. It's an uplook. Amen? We've got a new way to look at things. I know some people who tell me that I kind of look at things a little different than this world. I do. I look at them by the Bible. Amen? I just think that things should be looked at biblically and apply it biblically, because that's really what's mattering. That's really the effort here. And so tonight, as we pick up on verse number 10, I like how the Apostle Paul pins this down. And by the way, there is no such thing as biblical dictation. And God, this is the inspired Word of God, but God did not dictate into their ear and they write down or they type down exactly what He had said. No, the Holy Spirit had moved in their heart and they had pinned it down. And God had allowed each personality to stand out here. And I love how the Apostle Paul has brought this to light by the Spirit of God. And he says in verse number 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. I am what I am." And so I'd like us to consider this here as a spiritual evaluation. I look at the work of grace, first of all. He says that I am what I am. Now, it bothers me because every one of us have faults. Every one of us sin. Every one of us are still sinners. We're saved by grace, and I understand that. But the problem that I have is the fact that we settle for that. We're okay. I've met folks that, "Well, I'm just a sinner and it's just going to be that way." No, hold on a second. By the grace of God, I'm saved. And by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul says, "I am what I am." May I tell you what he was? He was a sinner striving not to sin anymore because the grace of God was on him. Amen. And that should be where we are today. Now, I look here at the work of grace or the work of God that God's trying to do in our life. I'm thankful that salvation means more. It's amazing that more folks aren't sold out. It's amazing that more folks aren't on fire for the Lord. It was D.L. Moody that had said, "Lord, send a fire, revival fire, and start it right here." And he drew that circle, and he said, "Send it in the middle of the circle." And he stepped into the middle of the circle, and he said that if this town would just see one burn for him, I'm not talking about a physical burning, but a spiritual burning. Boy, I'm telling you today, it's amazing that the Apostle Paul said, "I am what I am." And I know that we give him credit and we lift him up and we say, "Boy, what an apostle, what a great man of God that he was." But you know why he was that way? Because the grace of God was upon him. The same grace that we have. So why aren't we the same? I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be mean. But is it not amazing that how often we downplay it? "Well, you know, it's these times. No one wants to hear it." There's still... You'd be hard to prove to me that they wanted to hear it in his time. Amen. This is the man that if we were to go over and look at his resume, it was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked. Amen. And yet we say, "Well, they just don't want to hear it today." I don't know that they wanted to hear it then. I look at Noah's day. Well, they just didn't want to hear it. They didn't listen until it was too late. And so I look at this work, the work of grace that's given here. Salvation's more than just lip service. Many say that they know Him. Many say that they're saved, and yet it amazes me that they don't have the same testimony. They'll tell you of a time when they've prayed a prayer
and they'll never be able to tell you of a time where God's done a work. May I tell you what grace does? Grace changes you. And we think about that song, Amazing Grace, and what a great song it is, and everyone knows it. In fact, yeah. Well, I had already mentioned this is the Hypocrite's Day. We just had the Atheist Day on Thursday. Amen, April Fool's Day. And now today we get the Hypocrite's Day when all the hypocrites come out and say that they all know Him. And boy, I'm guarantee you that they can sing Amazing Grace. Even the Hollywood harlots and the country and western, boy, any music genre that you want, they can all sing it. They all know it. But it's amazing that it didn't change them like it did John Newton that wrote it. You know, he knew what it was about Amazing Grace. Why was it so amazing? Why was the Apostle Paul able to say that it's this grace? I am what I am because the grace of God is on me, because he used to persecute the church. He used to be against God, but now he lives for God. You see, John Newton was that slave, he wasn't really an owner, he was a transporter. And he would bring the slaves in, and he was even known, he was told by the British Army, he said, if we catch you again, we're going to take you in. And they came up on his ship, and he had 200 slaves, and he handcuffed them. He tied them all together, and he threw them in with the anchor. Drowned 200 one time, so that he didn't have to go to prison. Say, how awful. But he found out when God met him. Actually, when he finally listened to God, he found out what amazing grace really was. Listen, the Apostle Paul said that I am what I am. Why? Because it's a work of grace. What's so great about the gospel? It's not because we're doing it, it's because he's doing it in us. It's that gospel that continues to grow. It's that gospel message, that resurrection that takes place in us, that new birth. And so I find that it's a work of God. It's a work of God. Now, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews quite a bit. But I want you to look back at verse number 10 here of our text. And then I'm going to have you hold your place. And we're going to go over to the book of Hebrews. In verse number 10, he talks about, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You ever do anything that was just a waste of time? You know, you set out for it, and but you don't get anything out of it. It's just a waste of time. The Apostle Paul says, look, I'm not going to let His grace just be a waste of time in my life. I'm not going to let this gospel salvation be a waste of time for the Lord. And he says, it wasn't in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. What's he saying? He said it was a work of grace, but he says it was the work for God. You see, it was the grace of God that was working in him, and what he did was he took his hands off and he said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Lord, I don't care how tired I am. Lord, I don't care how inconvenient it's going to be. Lord, I don't care what I'm going to sacrifice. We could look over at his testimony in the book of Philippians, and we could see that he lost all and he counted it all as dung. None of it mattered any to him. He said, I'd rather work for the Lord. Over in the book of Hebrews, hold your place now in 1 Corinthians 15. Look in the book of Hebrews. I want you to look at chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter number 6, I look here at verse number 9. Hebrews 6 and verse number 9. And if you're writing it down, we're going to go all the way to verse number 12. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which He has showed toward His... which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister... And we desire that every one of you should do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What's he saying? What's this about? He said that I'm happy to be a servant of the King, and I'm happy to sit in His court, and I'm going to continue to serve Him all the way to the end. I want to go and listen, I'm not going to be slothful in following. You say, preacher, what slothful in following mean? It means you drag your feet about it. Amen. He said, I'm just going to sell out, and I'm just going to go, and that's what everyone else should do. I've told you before, I watch folks with their Christian walk, and they want to come up, and they want to sample the water, and they put their toe in there, and they want to see if it's too cold or too warm. It's almost like the story of the three bears in Goldilocks. Boy, they want to try out every chair. They want to try out every pot of porridge. Listen, it's the fact that God served it up, and we need to just sit down and enjoy it. Continue to serve Him. The Apostle Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm thankful that His grace wasn't bestowed upon me in vain. And it's a labor to serve. I'm sorry, it's a joy to serve Him. It's a labor of joy, and it's all to His glory. And so I look as well. I find in verse number 17 of our text tonight. Now, hold your place in Hebrews, which I just left. So it's not hard to find. Amen. We'll be back and forth here. In fact, we're coming right back over. I look here and I find sin's evacuation. Look at verse number 17. Sin's evacuation. What's so important about the gospel? My sins are gone. Amen. I think to me that's a good thing. Amen. They're gone. They're gone. You say, preacher, you don't have any sin. That's not what I said. But I'm telling you, they're gone. Notice this. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Now I understand that that's a negative. He says that if Christ isn't raised, then you're in your sins. But guess what? Christ is raised. So you know what that means? I'm not in my sins. Amen. I'm not. That means that they're gone. Now, I don't know if you've ever had fleas. Anyone in here ever have fleas? I'm not talking about you personally, but maybe in the house. Amen. And they're not fun. You don't even see them. They just come up and bite you, and then all of a sudden you get the result from it. And you get enough of them, you'll see them. Amen. And they're something that you're ready to get rid of. You say, preacher, you got fleas? No. Amen. I went ahead and spent the money and got the dogs on something to keep from having fleas. By the way, if you don't sleep with the dogs, you don't get their fleas. Amen. But that's a whole other account. But listen, shouldn't we want our sins to be gone? This is something to shout about, folks. I'm telling you, you get fleas in the house and they're gone, you're going to shout about them being gone. I remember Brother Mike, you know, I gave him so much grief. We've had chickens for years. And he had found out that chickens eat fleas. And in order to keep the fleas out of his house, he got chickens on the outside. You see, because they'd eat the fleas before they ever got in. And boy, I couldn't tell you how many chickens he went through that first year just trying to get rid of the fleas. You say, did the fleas take it? No. Predators came up and took the chickens before they could get all the fleas. Amen. But, I remember he would talk about that even the trip from his truck into the house, you'd have fleas biting on your legs and you'd carry them in. And he said, it was awful. It was awful. You know what he came? He had had chickens probably a year. And he said, we don't have any more fleas in the yard. No more fleas. Boy, we can walk out there and do whatever we want to do and no more fleas. And it's not like he had grass, you know, to where you could hide in it. No, he they had fleas. You know, it's amazing that we don't shout about not having sin. Because of the resurrection, our sins are not on us. Amen. We're not in our sin and our sin's not on us. And we don't have that anymore. You say, preacher, well, what do you mean? Well, here's what this verse is actually saying. You're not in your sins. And your sins are not in you. But it means that they're not covered. I'd like to explain something for a moment about the Old Testament. Now, they had rituals. They had their spiritual times, and they would have that Day of Atonement. And that Day of Atonement, the high priest would come, and he would sacrifice that lamb, and he would take that blood. And that blood would have to be applied, first of all, for him, because he was a sinner. Then it would be taken, and it would be applied for the people of Israel. And you know what he had to do next year? The same thing.
Why? Because that day of atonement for the Jewish people or the nation of Israel at that time was just to cover their sin. It was not to forgive it. It was not a day of atonement like we would think of today, that it would bring us at one with God, but it would bring it to where God would accept that sacrifice, and yet that blood or their sin was still there. It was still right there. Listen, I can take this Bible right here, and I can bring it, and I can cover it up. You can still see it, can't you? Amen. I can bring it and cover it up. How about I use my watch? Amen. I can take my watch, and I can set it right here, and I'm going to cover it up. And okay, boy, we've got it all covered. I don't have a watch anymore. Do I have a watch, Tara? Where is it? Whew. But I don't have a watch anymore. I've got rid of it. I can't see it. We think that that's enough. That's Old Testament. The resurrection makes it to where our sins are no longer in us. Oh, we're done. They're not just covered up. Tara's right. I still have a watch. In fact, here's the problem. Most people will come back, they'll uncover their sin, put it back on, and keep wearing it. Amen. And so it has to keep going, and year after year after year. And this is what the priest would have to do. And he would come to that place, and it was the high priest, and it was an offering that was offered every year. But look over the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. Hebrews, chapter number 9. Hebrews 9, I want you to look at verse number 11. Notice this, verse number 11 of Hebrews chapter 9. The Bible says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building." Notice this, "neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Go on over to verse number 23 of the same chapter. Verse 23 of the same chapter. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25, "Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as an high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Boy, I'm thankful He did it all. Amen. It's completely done. My sins have been evacuated. They're not just covered. Amen. And so I look here and I find that His blood did not bury them in the sea. I know there's songs, and I know that even in the Old Testament, the Bible says that our sin is in the depths of the sea. I look here and I find as well that my sin is not just as far as the east is to the west. And I know that the east can't touch the west. But I want to bear with you for a minute. We are here on W.E. Smith Road, and most people call that West East Smith Road. I don't know how in the world you figure that out, West East Smith. It makes no sense whatsoever. Because if you're west, you're west. If you're east, you're east. Amen. But they got it figured out. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" May I tell you that every year they figure out how to get deeper in the sea. Every year someone goes further west or further east. If our sins were buried in the bottom of the sea, if our sins were in the east is the west, and as far as the east is from the west, may I tell you, that means that they're not gone. It means that someone could still find them. May I remind you that there's an accuser of the brethren, and he'd know exactly where to dig them up.
But I'm thankful it's greater than that. You see, it's not covered, it's clean. Amen? It's clean. In Hebrews chapter number 10, look over there. Hebrews 10, look at verse 16. I told you we're going to find several verses here. It does no good for me to tell you. I want you to see what God tells us here. In verse number 10, look at verse number 16. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 16, book of Hebrews. This is the covenant. You remember what I told you that word means? The testament, right? I showed you this morning there's a better testament. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. And so I look here and I find it says that this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Because the blood cleansed them away. Now therefore, or now where remission of sin is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, I'm thankful that I have a new and living way. You see, the new and living way is the fact that this is God's way. The living way is the resurrected way. Amen. Jesus didn't arrive dead. He arrived alive. Amen. And He's our high priest. He's the one that comes, and He's the one that we can have full assurance in. I think about Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Hey, I can rejoice over the fact of my sins' evacuation. Old Satan can't go and look and try to dig them up and say, "Look, here they are." When he tries to present something to God the Father that I've done wrong, and by the way, I'm still just a sinner, and God looks down and He says, "What sin?" Because He chooses to remember it no more. And so I look here, not just the spiritual evaluation and sin's evacuation, I find here a sure expectation. Amen. Hey, I like things that are sure. Amen. I like it. You know, there's a whole lot of people that put trust in things that really aren't too sure. Brother Stephen, we were talking about the lottery the other day. And you know, there's only one thing sure. Someone else is going to make money. Amen. That's really what the lottery is about. Someone else is making some money. I can guarantee you that. There's a whole lot more people that lose than win. Amen. They're making a profit somewhere. They don't just barely scrape even. But I do find that because of Christ, we have a sure expectation. Notice, if you would, back over at 1 Corinthians 15. Now hold your place in the book of Hebrews. But look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are, of all men, most miserable. But I like verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. I like that. You say, preacher, I don't see what you're seeing. He said, if in this life, right now, I mean, what I'm preaching, and this is the only hope that I have, and I'm only going to have it right now, he said, boy, we just really don't have any hope at all, do we? But what did he say in verse 20? But Christ is soon to be? Christ is hopeful to be? No, he said Christ is now. Yeah. Now risen. It's not 3.5 days, it was 3 days. Yeah. It's not, well, you know, we're hoping in another 3 days. Jeremiah got some caterpillars. And Sister had found this, and you know, it's fun. It's fun to do. And they guaranteed that 3 of these caterpillars out of 5 would live to become butterflies. that's pretty decent. Now Jacob's like, Dad, that's not very good. That's not a very good percent. I was like, I'm fine with it. Amen. I just hope that we actually get one to survive and become a butterfly. And so we're going through it and we're doing everything that we're supposed to do. And I mean, really, it's just a matter of letting it do what it's supposed to do because it just does it on its own. Amen. It eats the goody that they put down on the bottom, and they give you five caterpillars. And they start out, boy, they are tiny. And they start out, and it's not very long now. It's quicker than you think. Boy, they're like fat little jokers. Amen. They're long, and they put some weight on, and they'll travel up to the top where they're supposed to start their chrysalis, and they'll come back down and eat a little bit more. I don't know if they just got tired from the journey, said it's time to eat some more before we start. Amen. I don't know how it works, but they do that, and then eventually they hook onto that lid, and they're going to make their chrysalis, and they've done that. And then it says after 3 days of them hanging upside down in that chrysalis, you need to start them and put them over into the little net container house thing that they're going to actually be able to fly around in, so that we can take them out and we'll release them and do all the right things. So, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, we had three of them hanging. That's exactly what they promised, was it not? Three out of the five. But one of them looked like he was supposed to stay hanging, and he didn't hang. So, well, we put him in there anyway. Amen. And then we took it out, and when we took the lid off, this Sarah took the lid off, and she did it just like it said, you know, be gentle. It's not like you're going, hey, get in there, you know. And so she took it off, and she placed it in the little thing that they gave us to hold the lid, and she's got it sitting down in there, and two of these chrysalis started going, I don't know if that's normal or not. I've never walked upon that and out in the woods, never seen that. And so they're just shaking. And I said, well, you know, they might just fly a little crooked. And so we're letting them go. Now it says about 7 days they should start coming out. Friday was 3 days. 4 days was yesterday. This is the fifth day. So Wednesday, I should be able to tell you we got butterflies. Now, here's the truth of the matter. It might not be till next Sunday. You say, preacher, but they're going to come out. Well, we hope they are. I mean, it'd be neat to see them. I think it'd be kind of neat. And this is the way that the world looks at the resurrection. Well, it really doesn't. I mean, it's 3 days. No, it was exactly the way it was supposed to be. And because God does everything exactly the way He said He's going to do it, therefore I have hope. Go back over to the book of Hebrews. Look at verse number 11. Or chapter number 11. Look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Brother Richard, we were speaking about this the other day. I'm thankful I have a sure expectation. Because my expectation isn't in the things of this world, but instead it is the God that has created everything. And so I can expect some things from Him. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1, I find, I just simply gave it a subtitle or a subpoint here of defining this hope. This is the hope, and I'm going to define it to you that I have and that you too can have. In verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter number 11, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I bring us to this. I know that most of you have it memorized, but I want you to see it. And I want to define a few words. That word substance means ground or confidence that I have. And so it would be the faith is the confidence or the substance of the things hoped for. Now that word hope is just simply expect. I expect it. Why? Because God said. I expect it. Now, I'm not trying to... We live in a society that expects everything the way they want it. I mean, really, we do. We live in that time where it's all about what I want, and I don't care about what anyone else wants. But no, as a child of God, when God says something, we can expect it. We can expect the wrath that's to come. Amen. We can expect Armageddon. Now, I'm not talking about for us, but I'm telling you, it's coming. Amen. We can expect the tribulation for those that are lost, and honestly, the tribulation is for Israel. Amen. If you were to go back and study it, it's not for the church. The church is going to be gone. Amen. Hey, listen, the rapture takes place before the tribulation because the tribulation is to wake Israel up.
Yeah.
Not the church. Right now it's time to wake the church up. Amen. Because we're getting ready to go home. But God said it. And therefore I can expect it. I look as well. He says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That the grounds or the confidence that I can have and expect it or hope for. I've expected this. And the evidence here is proof. He says the evidence of things not seen. Proof. Give me one time that God's failed you. I can give you many times that you failed God. I can give you many times that we failed ourselves. Amen. That it wasn't God's doing. I've told you before, we're our own worst enemy. But God's not. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That they could pluck His beard out. That they could spit on Him. That they could mock Him. They could curse Him. They could deny Him. They could betray Him. Hold on, some of these were those that walked with Him. Book of Titus, chapter number 2 and verse number 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I can expect this soon. See, this is something that's hoped for. Well, why is it hoped for? It's a sure expectation. He says, I don't just have life or hope in this life only. My hope is in Jesus. It's not just in this life. It's in, well, you know, I guess if we'd be technical, it is. Because I'm already in my eternal life. Amen. It's just not what the world thinks about His life. And so He goes on, and I find the distinction of this hope. Well, why is it? In verse number 20, it tells us He became the first fruits of them that slept. Now, let me explain something about the first fruits. Biblically, there's times of harvest. And the very first fruits that you harvest was the first fruits that God expected for you to bring to Him. It was the best. It was the freshest. It was not that you had taken and it had been on the vine forever. No, it was that fruit that you was excited to get. You say, preacher, what do you mean you was excited? Because I'm telling you, that first tomato that comes on, you're watching it. You can't wait for it to turn. Brother Stephen, you can't wait for it to turn red. Amen. And don't pick it green now. I was talking to Sister Sarah about the strawberry patch. You know what those jokers do? They go out there and they pick strawberries like they do tomatoes. They'll pick them when they're green and they've got to sit on the counter and ripen up. Amen. I want them to be red on the vine. Amen. And so you're sitting there, you're excited, you can't wait. And I don't care what it is. If it's a plum on the tree, if it's a green bean on the bush, it doesn't matter. You're excited and you're ready. Jesus Christ is that sacrifice that was the best sacrifice that could ever be given. The only sacrifice to ever be accepted. And He's been lifted up to the Lord. Now, why wouldn't we want to be that as well? He said that He became the first fruits of all them that slept. That means that they're going to follow because that's the season of harvest. You have more than one part of harvest, do you not? Amen. I mean, Brother James, you're going to have some plums that are going to ripen before some of the others. Amen. You're going to go out there and you're going to get those ones that are ripe right now and you're going to pick those and then you're going to wait for the others to ripen up. We went to that strawberry patch yesterday. There was some that we were able to find that were red enough for us to get. And may I tell you, there was a lot more on there that wasn't. That means that they're going to ripen up. You know what we need to be? We need to be willing to be that first fruit lifted up to the Lord. I'm not talking about the fact that you're ever going to replace Christ. But I'm talking about that you need to give your all for Him. That's really what He's showing, is that He's the example. He's the pattern. What did He give? His all. And not just His all, but His very best of His all. Amen. And He said that, look, this is I'm just going to lift up. And He's the first of all them that have slept. And by the way, I'm in Him. And so look at verse number 21. For since by man came death, I'm sorry, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Look on down, look at verse 23. But every man, and in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. I just find that He deserves nothing less than the best. I'm His. He gave His all for me. Boy, I'm thankful He didn't come halfway out of the tomb. Amen. I'm thankful I have a God that doesn't just do it halfway, but He does it all the way. And it's to the point that we can expect it to be that way every time. I wonder if He looks at us and He has a sure expectation there. You say, preacher, that can never happen. It can never happen until the grace of God makes it happen in you. Amen. Did the Apostle Paul fail? Absolutely. But he didn't stay in it. He rose above because of the grace of God that was bestowed in him, that it wasn't in vain. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, Your grace that You've bestowed upon us, the same grace that the Apostle Paul had pinned down, he was speaking about, Lord, that, Father, I don't want it to be vain in my life. I don't want it to be empty in my life. And Lord, I want it not to be a waste of time that You gave it to me. Boy, I'd hate to think, and I know that this is me thinking, but I would hate to think that You had sat down and look at me and go, boy, I wish I wouldn't have gave Him so much. I wish I wouldn't have even messed, or I wish I wouldn't have went to the cross for Him. Lord, I'm so thankful that You love me in spite of me. And Lord, I just want to live my life for You. Help us tonight, Lord, that we would come to that place. That we would be the living gospel, the real gospel, Your gospel, Lord. Father, take this invitation, use it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the music softly plays, God spoke to your heart, I encourage you to come. I encourage you to come. Gave us so much. Died for our sins according to Scripture, buried, rose again on the third day. Aren't you glad that we have this hope, not in this life only, but for all the sure expectation. He will never fail. He will never fall short. Man will fail you. Society's going to fall short every time. God never.